Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good to see you all this morning. We'll turn on over to Galatians chapter 5. All right, Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, and read through the end of the chapter. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. All right, we've been working through the fruit of the Spirit here in verse 22, and covered love, joy, peace, and patience. And last week we began kindness. So we'll continue working through kindness, and we'll see how far we get. And I just think of the definition I came up with, kindness here, of a good or benevolent nature. And sometimes it helps me to understand a word by understanding what it isn't. Kind is not rude. And the thing I want to remind us of here, let's go over to Luke chapter 6, just kind of review a couple things we hit last week. Always like to spend a couple minutes review and then kind of get a little momentum going in here. Recognizing a pattern we've seen here in dealing with the fruits of the Spirit. In Luke chapter 6, we'll just grab verse 35. He says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. So, you know, as I worked through the verses where this word kindness is used in the New Testament, and then kind of expanding it at the end with its derivatives, I noticed a theme. And the theme is, our God is kind.
Amen.
Right? And, our direct word here from Galatians isn't used in verse 36 of Luke chapter 6, or verse 35, but we notice here that the exhortation is for us to be loving and to be good and to lending, respecting nothing in return, and we'll receive this great reward because our God is kind. Okay? And it would make sense to us that when we look through the theme of kindness, that because our God is kind, he is expecting us, being dwelt with his Spirit, to be kind. And that's been about the same thing we've noticed with every single one of these fruits of the Spirit. Not that it's new news, not that it's mind-altering, but it is a fact. It is, in fact, what is true. Our God is love. And he expects us to be loving. I mean, that would only make sense. If his Spirit, the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from dead, dwells in you, then you ought to be taking on the characteristics that that our God uses, okay, to define himself. He's love. You know, we spent a couple weeks on patience. How patient has our God been? Well, you look at yourself and think about your time here on earth. You turned away from the Lord one time. He has granted you repentance. Okay, to leads at salvation, and you made that choice, and now you have been brought into, through his kindness and his patience, his salvation, okay, being grafted in into God's will, into God's plan. Been very patient. And so he expects us to exercise great patience, okay? I kind of talked about with ourselves and with others, and especially as we do the Lord's work in this world, great patience. And so with kindness, it's no different. Okay, our God is kind. It would make sense for us to exhibit that kindness in the world. We looked at Romans chapter 2, so we'll turn there. In Romans chapter 2, we'll grab verse 4. Verse 3. Better grab verse 3. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? So we see a connection between God's mercy and his grace and his kindness and his tolerance as it relates to our salvation. God's kindness has played a role in this. Okay? God has been very kind with us. That the verse I read from Acts chapter 11 showing us, okay, repentance has been granted to the world. Sometimes we can say, please grant me this favor. We're saying, do something for me. Give me this, please. And I understand it's by favor, but we're saying God gave that to the world. He granted it to the world, right? In Acts chapter 11, you know, Paul's relating the events that had happened a chapter earlier, is at least how the writer Luke writes it. And so the Jews who are there in Jerusalem are like, if God has granted salvation or repentance to the Gentiles, who are we to basically stand in his way? Okay? My point is, it's because God's kind. That's through God's kindness that repentance has even been granted to us and available through us if we are willing to choose the Lord over this world. And so I just have the note here, the whole purpose of God's kindness to the Jews was not so that they could feel good about their present standing, but so that they might turn from their flawed way of thinking and adopt God's viewpoint. Okay? I gave you guys the example of that one unfortunate period of my senior year in high school where my English grade wasn't so high, okay? And so my English teacher, probably pressured by the administration and the head ball coach, okay, met with me and said, I am willing to let you make up this work. Like, that was very kind of her to allow that. And I took her kindness very serious. Like, oh, thank you. Like, much appreciated. And I got working. I acted, and I acted swiftly. And so that's kind of the example I think of here. He's like, you know, the way Paul writes this, he's like, or do you think lightly of God's kindness? Like, if I thought lightly of my English teacher's kindness, I'm going to go anyway, you know, regardless if I, you know, and I thought lightly of her kindness, I probably would have been fueled a lot slower to actually working. Or as the way the spiritual illustration lines up, repenting, making a change. Okay, so we don't want to think lightly of God's kindness. And then I just said, you can see this with one another. We lack kindness and we become unforgiving. So let's use this example, like how I kind of view it from the throne, from God's perspective. If God lacked kindness, then he wouldn't be forgiving. You see, when we lack kindness with one another, we can tend to become unforgiving with one another. That makes sense. You see how those are correlated, right? And so here in Romans 2, we see a correlation between forgiveness, accessible through repentance, right, as it relates to God's kindness. Okay, so that's kind of review, and then we finished in Romans chapter 11. So let's turn on over there. And now we got the ball rolling, so we're going to keep digging in here. Not going to give too much information on context here because I explained this last week. Most of us are familiar with Romans 11. We've got a olive tree, okay? Branches are being grafted in or taken out based upon their faith, not based upon their nationality, okay? Where they're from or their history, okay? or their posterity, but whether or not they believe in God, okay? So it's a good illustration for the relationship between Jew and Gentile as it relates to God's eternal plan. And so kind of towards the end of this discourse here in verse 22, it says, behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. Okay? So what we notice here, and this is where we kind of had to wrap up last week, is we notice something else about God's kindness. So God's got this tree, this olive tree, he's using as an illustration. He's like, okay, you know, the Jews that came up, if they're disbelieving in Jesus, then they're going to get snapped off the tree and then thrown into the fire. And if God sees wild olive branches growing up in the uncultivated areas, but they turn and believe in God, he can take them, I should say believe through Jesus Christ, he can take them and graft them into God's tree, which is symbolic for his salvation, his will for mankind, his blessings, his inheritance, his promises. Okay, so if you could, you know, and so basically, you get this picture of some are getting chopped off and burnt, and others are being grafted in through God's kindness. Okay, which is a really good illustration if you know anything about grafting. And so he makes this statement. Okay, behold then, the kindness and severity of God. God is serious. It is very severe. Deny Jesus, he'll deny you before the Father in heaven. And you'll burn, just like the tree branch does. Okay, but he says God's kindness, okay, to us, God's kindness, because we've been grafted in. And to those of us who are Christians, who are here, we've received God's kindness. And then he noted, he gives us this interesting line here, if you continue in his kindness. So what we notice here about God's kindness is that it's conditional. If you continue in his kindness. Okay. I thought of this example. I think I've used it before, but from a business perspective and from a hiring perspective, you know, you get people who fill out applications, and usually they attach resumes. And basically, they're trying to sell themselves to you. Come and see how good I look on paper, okay? And then hire me and pay me. And boy, if they look good on paper, then you invite them to sit down so you can kind of get a face-to-face and see how they are in person, okay? And so in that interview, you know, I know when I interviewed for a couple jobs over time, you know, I am good, I am hardworking, I am reliable, I have a servant's heart, I will do what you say, you know, you're just kind of, you know, you're selling yourself on this. So over the years, you know, you get people, they come in and they're new hires and they're willing to do things your way. They're willing to listen to you and they're willing to submit themselves to you because they need the job. Okay? And then a few months go by and all of a sudden they think they know better. You know, you got to continue in this thing to keep receiving the kindness. So this conversation came up last week with someone who works in a restaurant, because if you work in a restaurant, there's a real strong push to wear non-slip shoes. Okay, you know, grease gets on the floor and it's slick. So when I first started working at the restaurant, non-slip shoes, I'd say maybe 30 to 40% of the staff wore them. And you knew you were supposed to, but you know the bosses were like, well, you know, we're supposed to, but yeah. Well, when you grow to the size of Texas Roadhouse, and at least the store here locally that does $5 to $6 million a year, okay, and you've got over 400 stores in the country, okay, what happens when an employee falls and then sues the company? That conversion rate between new hires and non-slip shoes goes from 30 to 40% to 100%. You guys understand what I'm saying? Okay. You know, because I was having a conversation with someone and they work for a pretty big company, but they were saying, yeah, you know, maybe half the people actually wear them. And I was like, wait till that company gets sued and then everybody's going to be wearing those things, because that hammer's going to come down from the CEO or the owner, and he's going to have it infiltrate all the way down into the individual stores. Okay. But there would be times when, As the leader of the institution, you know, I would take this new person on and I would show them great kindness and they could receive these things if they continued according to the rules. And if they ever were to be like, well, I'm not going to wear those, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm shutting you down. Can't work if you're not wearing the shoes. Go home. Okay? They can call that unkind. To a certain extent, it's being just. But my point is there's this illustration I get where when we come in, we have to continue in God's kindness to keep receiving the benefits that come from that, the mercy and the grace and the pay increases and all that stuff that the illustrations hopefully is kind of tying in here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just work on this for a little bit. We are to continue. And if we continue in God's kindness, then we continue to receive his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll just start in verse 1. He says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And we see a correlation here between the gospel, the good news, the message of truth that has the power to save, and continuing in it. right? He says this message, this gospel that I delivered to you, by which you are saved in verse 2, if you hold fast the word which I preached. The best way to continue in God's kindness is to continue to hold fast his word. His word. Okay, we want to continue in God's kindness. And, you know, the brighter you shine, the more kind you become, the more the world's trying to snuff you out. Okay? And so you got to hold fast to something. Something that's your foundation. Something that's going to drive you to continue in God's kindness. And 1 Corinthians 15 just shows us that a part of that is his word. Okay? Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. While we're turning, we're going to switch gears here a little bit. Pause for any comments. Verse 4. We're going to get to kindness, and these words that we're looking at here are the exact same word from Galatians. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Again, we see a connection between God's mercy. Now, mercy wasn't used in Romans 2 directly, but we see that same idea, okay, of repentance that would be through God's mercy. So I like how this is being tied in again. He says, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. On the surface, it seems like there's a lot going on right there. And there is. But just slow down verse 7 and look at how kindness is being woven in here. So that in the ages to come, okay, in the ages to come, the heavenly places, he, God, might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting. It's again, this is just an illustration that just popped in my head, and all illustrations break down spiritually, but I get this picture of like show and tell, and God's like, behold my kindness. And it's the Christian. So that he might, in the heavenly places, says, show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. It is us in Christ Jesus that is the greatest demonstration of God's kindness. I don't know about you, but that fires me up. That's exciting. You know, Ephesians really great for that, kind of giving you a picture, a heavenly picture of what, you know, down here, this is what's going on. But do you have any idea the ramifications it has in the heavenly places? The rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, Ephesians says, bearing witness to the things that are being accomplished through the church. It's just, it's a really good letter. And we might get there sometime when we finish Galatians. I don't know. But Ephesians is really great for being able to do that. And so we see God's kindness is being extended to you, and it's a demonstration of his mercy, of his love, of his kindness towards us, the riches of his grace. These are all demonstrations of God's kindness. John.
So you're kind of saying that, you know, God's taken an abstract thing like his grace and his kindness, and he's putting it and embodying it into his son so that we can visually see what he's talking about?
Well, I would actually, if I understand what you're saying, John, it's exhibited through us because Christ indwells us, right? So you have Jesus who comes, and he's perfect, as the Heavenly Father is perfect, and then that example is poured forth in his Spirit into all of us, and it's the demonstration of all that God is. So I think it's yes, but it's even bigger than that, even bigger. Yeah. Yeah, any other comments? Okay. 2 Peter, chapter 1. We better start in verse 1. Where's our word? Got it. Our word is in verse 7. Again, the same word as Galatians. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the truth knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, has forgotten his purification from his former sins. Okay. So a little bit long section, and again, we got a lot going on. But the one thing I notice here is we do have this, some of this progression being laid out, right? And we're familiar with this section. We hear it quite often, you know, that this great, these magnificent promises that have been given to us, we're partakers of the divine nature, which is made true through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We've escaped the world, and this is what it looks like. Knowledge, and in your knowledge produces self-control, and self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. And we see the fulfillment of that is love, as it is properly in its place. But notice how far kindness is down that list. Okay, I mean, it takes some maturing. I'm not saying you can't become a Christian and be kind to someone. But again, we see this word kindness is used in this progression. We have to grow in Christianity to be that perfect demonstration of kindness that we see in God through Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to me because if we lack these qualities, which one of them being kindness, it says we have forgotten our purification from our former sins. So that to me, when I see how kindness is used in here, there is an exhortation to grow. Okay, you know, this has been true of almost all of the fruits of the Spirit, but these things are fruits of the Spirit, so we should see them. We should see them in our life. And so there's a strong encouragement here to grow in your faith. Because if you lack brotherly kindness, which is the step right before love, which is pretty far down the list, he's saying it's a faith issue picture. You got to go back to your purification from your former sins. You had to go back to that picture and understand what you've been created to do. Let's turn on over to Colossians chapter 3. Brought this up before, but if we lack kindness, it's a result of a faulty internal picture. And so I want to show us in a section in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 5. We're going to read through verse 12. But we get, you know, a section here in Colossians that we know, talking about the new man. And I want to show us how kindness pops up as being a part of the new man. In verse 5, he says, "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and having put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, and circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Okay. So again, this word kindness here is the same word that's used in Galatians. And so this is a really good section here. He's like, you once were these things, but because you have been made new and put to death the old man, turn away from these old things and take on these new things. And he keeps going, but in verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, been born from above, and dwelt with his Spirit, a new creature, behold, new things have come. These are all these themes that run through the New Testament that's referring to this. He says, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. He says, don't do this anger, math, slander, abusive speech. Don't do this stuff. Do this. Put on a heart of compassion and kindness. Because the new man is made to be kind. To be full of kindness. Well, sometimes we've been rude. And if that's the case, that's not the new man. That's not who you've been created to do. I just wrote down, been rude to your server lately? I've seen it. Been unkind to a brother or sister in Christ? Okay. My point is, that's how the world acts. That's not how we were created to act. Yeah. First month of school. Is always interesting because we always seem to bring every strain of the cold and the flu back from Bozeman after family camp and then bring it straight into the school. And then, you know, the first week we're all pumped up and the second week we're all getting beat down with colds and the flu. And the ear infections were bad this year, okay, the sinus infections. And so we have a young Tyler Cooper in the school who can't get sick. Like, his immune system's being crushed with chemo right now. And if he gets sick, that's not good. So, bless his heart, he's showing up to school initially. And so Angie and I are on, we got our meter out for the sick kids. You know, like, if they're really sick, you know, we got to be careful. We can't have Tyler come to school because he can't get sick. Okay? Well, one night, I wake up and my throat's hurting really bad. And I should have given you the short version. I'm sorry. My throat's hurting really bad, and so I get into the bathroom and look and open my mouth. And I saw white spots on the back of my throat. Well, what is that? It's strep. So I'm like, okay, you know, I mean, I can't go to a school and give 21 kids strep, but I have to go to school because I'm kind of in charge. And I was like, so I made an appointment early. And got into the doctor early before the next day. And so I just said, okay, why are you doing in here? I said, well, my throat's been really hurting. There was a period in my life where I got strep every year at the same time. I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's pretty common. And I was like, I think I have it. So he's like, okay. And so he goes, you know, he touches my lymph nodes and looks in, and he goes, you're good to go. And I was like, okay, I trust you. I said, I just wanted to be sure because, I mean, I can't go to a school and get these kids sick. And if you tell me I'm good and I'm not, and I didn't tell him this, but in my mind, and Tyler gets sick, like, I'll never forgive myself. So I asked a question. I said, you know, I noticed some white spots. What do you think that was? He goes, oh, you know what? We're just going to order the test. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, no, sir, I'm just curious because they weren't there this morning. So I believe you, it's not strep. What would cause that? You know, if I leave here without an answer, at least you'd be able to know what it is. I mean, could you at least tell me what it is? And he's like, you know what? Lots of moms come through my establishment, and they tell me things that they see with their kids, and they're just wrong. And I was like, well, I'm not a mom, but I appreciate the, I guess I can be your punching bag for a second, but he was just so rude. And I was like, Isaac, I completely understand. I didn't come here to be confrontational. I apologize. I'm just, you know, I was wondering if maybe you knew what they were. I believe you. He goes, grabs the stuff, order the test, and then walks out the door. And I was like, I didn't have strep. He was right. But I wasn't asking. It was just, so here's my point, because I don't want us to get too far away from what we're focusing on here. That's how you expect the world to act. None of you is surprised by that story. That is not what the new man was created to do. That is not how the new man was created to act. Now, I know myself, and I have a fair amount of interactions with you guys, okay, I just want to challenge us. Because when we open up the Word of God, and we come to Colossians, where this word kindness is used, the same word that's in Galatians, it's in a section saying, this is what the new man does. We don't act like that. That is not the new man. That's how the world acts, okay? We'll turn to Titus chapter 3. I'll pause for any comments. I'm sure you all have similar stories you could share. But Titus chapter 3, it just really occurred to me. Like, I was a little taken back, and I was trying to be super, like, I believe you. I believe you're right. I just had a question. But I didn't leave there surprised that a PA was rude with me or short with me. That's happened before. But it just hit me when I was working through this. That's not how we act. If we've been rude to a server, if we've been unkind to one another, if we've lacked, maybe we were rude or unkind because we lacked patience, that is not what we were created to do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm in Titus. I'm looking at Titus 3. What did I say? Hey, I gave y'all a warning over a year ago that was going to happen. Usually it's just flipped. It's not a completely different word. Titus chapter 3. Thanks, guys. Verse 3. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. We were lost, and now we have been saved because of God's kindness. And again, that picture I kind of gave us through this visit with the physician's assistant, lusts, pleasures, malice, envy, hate, hating one another, that is the old man. That is the world without God. That is not us. Our God is kind, and it's through Him we have received our salvation. Yeah, and the example that I think of is, you know, it's been a few years now, but I mean, I just use myself as an example because I'm not going to use you guys as an example, but I was lost living that kind of life, right? Once we're disobedient, once we're lost. And Luke Wilson took an interest in me. He invited me to play 4-on-4 YMCA basketball, and you were there, and Larry was there. Those are the two guys I remember, other than Luke. Those are the two that are etched in my mind, okay? And so for a period of weeks, you know, Luke was gauging my spiritual interest. And his side of the story is he asked me for the study multiple times, and I kind of just said, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. I don't remember that, but he's right, because that's when you're spiritually blind and where you're at and your heart's being hardened, like, you don't see the spiritual things being thrown at you all the time. Okay? And so we studied over the course for a year, and through that, and through the work of God's Spirit, I became a Christian. What does Luke gain from that? Where does he come out ahead in that? Do you see what I'm saying? He, through an interest in my father and my sister, finds out they have a brother and a son. So his mind instantly goes into, this guy needs the gospel. So he has an avenue, which is basketball, and makes the correlation between, maybe this is how we get this guy plugged in. So he gets him plugged in, gets me plugged in, goes through the word. I have a repentant spirit. I, as the scriptures would say, hearken unto Jesus' voice. Okay? What does Luke gain from that? He did it purely out of kindness. Which we see in that section we read leads to love. And all of those lead to love. But it was his love for the soul that he did that. But he didn't. What does he get from that? I mean, I guess, seven, 8 years later, he can teach a Sunday school class back there. I mean, was that what he was thinking? I mean, I don't know. The point is, it's his love and it was his kindness that drove that. There's nothing else he gets from it, at least from me. If anything, he's just gotten years of headache from me because I'm always asking him questions every day, okay? But I just thought as an example, our God is kind and selfless, and it was through our God's kindness that we've been saved. And to me, that's just an example of someone replicating that kindness. We better go to Ephesians 4. Looks like we're going to get goodness next week. I was kind of hoping to tie in a little bit of goodness today because these are closely related, but I was able to, at least in my head, find a way to kind of separate them, and we'll work on that next week. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Again, I want to point out, because, brethren, what we're doing is we're allowing the Word of God to define its terms. And that's crucial. Okay, and so again, we're going to see here in Ephesians 4, in verse 32, be kind. All right, and that's what we're focusing in on. But if you notice and look your eyes up to verse 24, or over, depending on your Bible, he's talking about putting on the new self, which is in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. This pattern is still coming through. The new man exhibits kindness. Okay, because these sections between Colossians and Ephesians are very close if you've looked into these before. And so we see the context is that there's this new man. Verse 25, we lay aside the old stuff, the falsehoods. Okay, we don't partake in that stuff. And so in verse 30, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Okay? Be kind to one another. It gives our spirit joy. Right? I mean, you kind of got to read all of Ephesians together because it runs really well together. But he's talking about laying aside the falsehoods, putting on the new self, renew the spirit of your mind, put away the bitterness and the anger and the slander and the malice, because these things grieve the Holy Spirit. Be kind to one another. That makes the Spirit joyful. That gives the Spirit joy. We don't have time to be grieving the Holy Spirit. No time for that. Not interested in doing that. Last verse. Might as well wrap up here. Pause for any comments. You guys have kind of let me run the show here this morning.
In your analysis of doing this fruits of the Spirit, have you found in like the Bible stories and both in history too that at a relationship level, self level, relationship level, and a society level, that when the person inhibits these fruits of the Spirit, that there's peace and prosperity and the society seems to last or the relationship lasts, but when they adopt any of the contrary fruits, that it seems to break down?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Abraham and Job are great examples of that. Is David, Solomon, guys who trusted the Lord, faithful men to the Lord, and they were blessed tremendously. And, that translates under God's, under the new covenant as spiritual blessings, right? But as a whole, absolutely. And, it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever tried to track Christianity from first century until now, or if you've ever kind of asked those questions. How many hundreds of years is it after Jesus' ascension, if it even is 100, where Catholicism has completely taken over and Christianity is almost underground. And then it's through literature, its appearances throughout history. I mean, I think you could pretty well establish from some restoration movement literature by Walter Scott or Alexander Campbell that our country was founded on biblical principles, and that there was a turning to the book, the Bible, to its terms, its definitions, and its establishment for church structure. And I'd say America, especially in its beginning time, was very blessed. And because of that, we see great freedoms. I mean, I know people like to highlight the negative things that happen in our country, but when you stack our country up against most of the world, we're pretty free, pretty equal. You know, I mean, it was the gospel that liberates people from being servants and blessed for us. So I think as a general principle, yes. But the main thrust and the answer to that is going to be, the reward is going to be spiritual blessings. So there can be an initial fulfillment of that. But it doesn't mean that it all of a sudden means that your life's going to get any better.
Right.
Yeah. But as a whole, yes. Okay. I said 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll close here. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, putting aside. You see this theme? I enjoy this. You just let the word do its job. It defines its term. Again, kindness is a result of a proper inner picture of who you have been created to be. Okay. We put aside the old man, its old practices, the falsehoods, the lies, the deceit. Okay, here he says, putting aside malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. It is the kindness of the Lord that has brought us to repentance, that has brought us to be in a position of salvation, to be grafted in to his blessings, to his inheritance, to his plan, all of these things. And so kind of in my closing section here, I wanted to make this point. Kindness is never wasted. Because I think sometimes it feels like kindness is wasted. I think you guys understand what I mean. Like, we're kind to people, and then they're just unkind back. And it makes us wonder why we do what we do. To the world, sometimes amongst one another. Like, we do it because it's who we were created to be. Kind. Kindness is never wasted. I say we don't do things if we don't think that they'll make a difference. Like, the second I think I'm engaged in something that's not going to make a difference, I lose heart. If it's some program I'm associated with or some hobby or whatever. Like, that's just kind of how we are. If we don't think it's going to make a difference, we lose the passion behind it. Guys, kindness is never wasted because it is a flowing from who you are, and you have been created to be kind. Okay? We'll go ahead and break.